done.
Okay, thank you. As we're getting into the, we passed Shloshim Yom before Purim.
This is a lot of topics of Adar, sponsored by Pearl and David Schechter, in memory of David's father, Yehuda Aryeh Lev and David Halevi.
Thank you. So as we, I was in the month before Purim now at this point, so to talk about some of the topics that relate to that period. And before we get into Purim, so we have Zachar, and Zachar as a whole touches upon the other Zechiros, which are also relevant in another way to this time period. So I thought maybe we'll start with that topic a little bit, and look a little bit at that question of the mitzvahs of Zechira. That ostensibly, it's generally assumed that there are six mitzvahs of Zechira. There are six commandments specifically in the Torah where we're told to remember something. Even though it's not so clear that that's the only way to count. It doesn't say that officially in the Gemara anywhere. It's not official list in the Sidurim, that there are six. Different Svarim count differently. There are some who assume that there are really only four mitzvos that are about this. And there are some who count others that are not part of the six that we're familiar with. If you look in the Sefer Kedushas Levi, of Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, so he has a kuntrus on the six Zechiros, but his six aren't the same as our six. He has some that we don't have. He has a mitzvah to remember the man. I have to say that in English, because you say Zechiros Haman, Purim time, it comes out, it's exactly the opposite. We have a mitzvah of remembering Eretz Yisrael, according to his list. So if you take all the different possibilities, you could have as many as nine, you could have as few as four, but it's popularly assumed that there are six. And those six Zechiros being mitzvah of Zechiros Shabbos, mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, mitzvah of Zechiras Egel Hazav, that we read about last week, mitzvah of Zechiras Miriam, and mitzvah of Zechiras Maimed HaSinai. And as we'll discuss, this time of year, basically from Parshas Kisisa through Shavuos, all of these six are, or most of these six are focused on. So it's a time of the year where it's appropriate to talk about this topic in general. And it's interesting to note that all of the Zechiras are treated completely differently from each other in Halakha. They have completely different ways of manifesting themselves in a Halakhic sense, and that itself is striking, because on the surface, if they're all based on the Torah saying, remember, so there isn't any obvious reason why they should be treated differently. Now, in some cases, there's a little bit of a reason. For example, in the context of Amalek, so it says not only Zachar, but it also says Al Tishkach. Says don't forget, and the Gemara Maseches Megillah assumes that Al Tishkach is significant, comes to teach us some additional halachas. But for the most part, we don't have any of these details spelled out in Chumash, and therefore the assumption that all six would each one have a different halachic manifestation is itself very interesting. And there are some who suggest that this is an example of a concept that we sometimes hear about called Masar HaKasuv L'Chachamim. That we first hear about this concept in the context of Malachas Chalamoid, that there is an idea that tells us about this in the Sachis Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches, that there are certain concepts or the concepts of Minhag Torah, but how they are performed is left up to Chazal to determine. So Malachas Chalamoid is an example of that, because the Tosus points out that it sounds like not so Malacha and Chalamoid is Minhag Torah. But the Gemaras that talk about the details, they all make it sound like it's the Rabbanan. They use the Rabbanan types of concepts. So which is it? So apparently it's this in-between category. It's something that the concept is Minhag Torah, but what defines that concept was given to Chazal to define, and could be many other examples. With David Cohen in his Svarim, one of his Svarim, Gvul Yabet, he has an essay about this, Kuntras Masar, Akats of the Chachamim. He comes up with 50, 60 examples of where this concept is applied. So it could be, this is one of them. It could be the Torah says, remember, and it says it for different things, and each time, Chazal were left to determine how it would be played out, practically speaking. So just to take a quick survey of how these are practiced differently. So Zachar is Hilma Shabbos L'Kadsho, so that on the surface, and that we read not so long ago either, so again, we have to go from Kisisa, we go to Mishpatim, we go to Yisro, excuse me, but also it's relevant to every Shabbos, so it's relevant to Tamir anyway. So the mitzvah of Zachar Shemot Shabbos Akasho is most prominently represented by the mitzvah of Kiddush. And Kiddush, of course, deserves its own separate discussion, so we won't get into it right now. It's interesting to note that even if we assume that the mitzvah of Zachar is a reference to Kiddush, there are apparently as many as 15 shittas in Rishonim and in Poskim, Rishonim and Achronim, as to how that plays out. Does that mean there's a mitzvah to say something Friday night, a mitzvah that can be fulfilled even through thinking? Is it a mitzvah that requires wine? Is the wine only through Rabbanan? Is Kiddush Makom Suda Min HaTorah? Is Kiddush and Havdalah contained together in a package deal? Is Kiddush Friday night and Shabbos day included? Is Kiddush and Tefillah included? Kiddush with a bracha, Kiddush without a bracha? So there are, as Shlomo Zalman Shmaya in the Sefer Yunim Balache, it has a whole list of 15 different possibilities what Zachar Shabbos Lakacho means. Some form of, and some aspect of Kiddush is apparently all included in this pasuk. In addition, there are a few other things as well. That the idea that when you go shopping during the week and you buy something for Shabbos, that's a kiyum of Zachar Shem Shabbos Lekacho. And we count Shir Shal Yom, we count the days during the week. We say Yom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos. Anticipation of Shabbos, as Ramban points out, this is also a fulfillment of Zachar Shem Shabbos Lekacho. But the primary fulfillment is clearly Kiddush. So that's something which doesn't really have a model in any other type of zechira. The other zechiras are all certainly different than that. Pretty soon after we finish Purim, we get towards Pesach. So Pesach has a focus on the mitzvah of zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the fact is, zechiras of Mitzrayim, really, as the Gemara tells us, the end of the first parak of Brachos is obligatory every day. In fact, is obligatory twice a day, daytime and nighttime. And we seem to fulfill that mitzvah, the daily mitzvah of zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, through Kriya Shema. When we recite the third paragraph of Kriya Shema, so that contains a reference to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's interesting, in general, when it comes to Kriya Shema, so we assume Kriya Shema is a mitzvah in the Torah. So Machlokas HaPoskim, how much of it is in the Torah? It could be one pasuk, it could be the first paragraph, the first two paragraphs, or the first three paragraphs, and the way it sounds like from the Rambam and Rasal Beitzik of the whole shir about this, that the idea of it being three paragraphs in the Torah is not really just because of Kriya Shema, because it's also including the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We grasp the two together, and therefore, in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, we fulfill that mitzvah every day, and as Rav points out in this year, it's not stam a convenience, but there is a fulfillment of both mitzvahs that are enhanced by being combined in that format. So there's a daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's fulfilled through Kriya Shema. Does that make it a mitzvah of Seisha as my grammar? So that's a little bit of a shaila, and there's a mugging of Ram about this. Very possibly it is. And it's the whole Shabbosaya, the whole discussion. Because essentially it's a mitzvah that's going 24-7. But it takes shifts. The daytime mitzvah, the nighttime mitzvah. So the nighttime mitzvah can only be done at night. And the daytime mitzvah can only be done during the daytime. So is that called Zman Grama? So that seems to be a Machlokas HaPoskim. And that's a whole discussion whether we say that women are chayavos in this mitzvah or not. Now the question is, if we have such a mitzvah, so we know we also have a mitzvah Pesach night. So the question begs itself, why is this night different than the other night? What's the difference between the daytime mitzvah, every day you have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Pesach night, so we have another mitzvah, so how is it distinguished? How is there a distinction between that mitzvah and the daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? This is a question that the Gadim takes up, you know, it's a question that certainly presents itself pretty apparently, and there are a number of suggestions. You know, some point out that there's an obligation to go into much more detail, if we call it Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, really Pesach night. Right, so then the idea of also putting yourself in the position, the way both the Haggadah and the Rambam change a little bit, but the way it's emphasized in that context is perhaps different. Some suggest that really maybe every day you can get away with just thinking about it. If they hear her on Pesach, you have to say it out loud. The idea that you have to have an exchange, you have to speak to somebody else, the Manishtana format where we talk about a dialogue, that you have to be communicating it to somebody else. There's another suggestion that we find. A number of suggestions as to how we differ the mitzvah of Pesach night and the mitzvah of the rest of the year. It seems to be there's a kind of a support system that essentially the big infusion is Pesach night. And throughout the year, there's those smaller doses that kind of piggyback on that. It's interesting, actually, the Rambam compares, and the Rambam explicitly compares Zechira Shabbos and Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe they have a similar structure as far as that's concerned. And we don't make a bracha specifically on the mitzvah of Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a question, why not? Various suggestions. One interesting suggestion as to why that might be is because we don't have a shir. There's no minimum as to what the mitzvah of Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim is. And we know that a bracha has to be recited before you do the mitzvah. So how are you going to do it here? You'll say, Asher kedishonu mitzvos of etzivanu al Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim. By the time you finish the bracha, you'll have fulfilled the mitzvah. So you can't, it's impossible to do bracha before the mitzvah because the bracha itself will contain the mitzvah, will contain mentioning of Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim. So some suggest that's why there's no bracha. So in any case, that's the basic structure of that mitzvah, which again is vastly different than Kiddush and is vastly different than the other four Zechiras. So the Zechira that we're approaching in a few weeks is the mitzvah of Zechira Samalik. And Zechira Samalik, it's generally assumed that the way we have to fulfill that is through Kriyas HaTorah with a minyan. And building on that assumption, so it's often said that this is the only time, or maybe one of the only times, throughout the year when Kriyas HaTorah is an obligation in HaTorah. We read the Torah so many times a week, every Monday and Thursday and Shabbos afternoon. That's all the kind of the Rabbanim. The Torah doesn't obligate us to lane all those times. But the laning of Zohar, so many assume that that's an obligation in HaTorah. So why is that the case? So it doesn't really spell out in the Pasuk again that you have to lane from the Sefer Torah with the Minyan. The Pasuk just says Zohar as Asher Asalach HaMalik. So who says you have to have this whole story? So the biggest source is really a Rush. There's a Rush in the 7th parak of Brachos, which seems to say that to have a Minyan for Zohar is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The question if he means that, it's a little bit of a question if that's really what he says. There's a lot of debate surrounding it, but really that's the biggest source. This Rosh in the 7th parak of Brachos that seems to say that that's a mitzvah in the HaTorah. There's also a Tosus, it sounds like there's a Tosus in two places, in Brachos and in Maseches Megillah, because the Gemara raises a question about whether Divrei Torah have to be said in Hebrew or can they be said in any language. So Tosfos raised the question, well, what are we talking about? We're talking about learning. So learning, no one ever said you have to do only in Lashon HaKodesh. Learning, you can clearly do in any language. We're talking about laning. It doesn't make sense because the Gemara Darshan's Psukim. So if we just said that laning is not an obligation in HaTorah, it can't be the Psukim are telling us how to do laning. So what's the Gemara talking about? So it says Tosfos, well, sometimes it is in HaTorah to read from the Torah, such as the Zechira Samalik. So that's also quoted as representing the idea that laning from the Sefer Torah is part of the mitzvah min HaTorah. And there's also a comment to Shmuel Hadeshin. Shmuel Hadeshin was a German Rishon, and he was asked the question, somebody said to him that he lives in a place where there's no minyan, and he plans on traveling to a place where there is a minyan for Purim, so that he can hear the Megillah. And he asked the Shmuel Hadeshin the question, once I'm going to this place, maybe I should go for Shabbos also, so I'll be there for Parshas Zohar. So Shmuel Hadeshin said, yeah, for sure you should go there for Shabbos. Not only should you go there for Shabbos, but it's more important for you to be there for Shabbos than it is to be there for Purim. Because the Megillah, you actually don't need a minyan. You can read the Megillah without a minyan. You don't have to go to a city with a minyan for that. But Parshas Zohar, that's the Chiyuv Min HaTorah, more important that you should be in the minyan place for Parshas Zohar than to be there for the Megillah. So based on these views in the Rishon of the Rush, the Shmuel Hadeshin, and what sounds like the Tosfos, so many take this assumption that laning it out of a Sefer Torah with a minyan is the mitzvah min HaTorah. And it could be that not all the Rishonim would have agreed with this. The Rambam and the Ramban don't seem to take this view. And the latest Farim points out, it sounds like from the Rambam that all of the dialogue Harshias are all equivalent, they're all the Rabbanans, they don't have, there's none of them that stands out as an obligation to HaTorah. And therefore it's a good question whether other Rishonim would have accepted this, but this seems to be the view that many follow, and then many make the announcements in shul, you should have a special attention to have fulfillment of this mitzvah, assuming that it's a mitzvah min HaTorah. So where would it come from, the idea of min HaTorah, the idea of using a Torah and the idea of the Tzibur? So some suggest, the Amuriation, the Sefer, makes a suggestion that the idea of the Sefer, that's because the Pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach says, K'sov Zos Zikaron B'Sefer, you should write this in a Sefer. So maybe that's part of the mitzvah of Amalek, that it should be Nitocha Sefer. And then the idea of the Minyan presumably comes from the fact that the Zechiras Amalek is tied into Milchemas Amalek, you're fighting against Amalek, and the Milchemas Amalek is a mitzvah on the Tzibur. It's not really an individual mitzvah. So therefore, perhaps they should go together, and therefore you need a Tzibur for the Zechiras Amalek. That's how it's exactly. So, okay. So fine. So how do I know that I have to do it every year, even if I accept it as an obligation with the Torah, and I accept it as an obligation with the Sefer Torah of the Minyan? So maybe I should do it once a lifetime and that's okay. Or maybe I should do it every day. How do I know that there's an obligation once a year? Where does that come from? So there's an idea that's quoted in the name of the Chassam Sofer. It's not clear where the Chassam Sofer says this, and it's mostly a transmission that comes from his Talmidim, for example, the Maram Shik, who discusses this. But the idea that's attributed to the Chassam Sofer is as follows. That, as we mentioned before, the Torah says, remember Amalek and don't forget. So what does it mean, don't forget? So he says that there's a period of time after which you start to forget. He makes up this concept called a shir shikha. And after a certain period of time, you start to forget. So what's that shir? After 12 months. After 12 months, people start to forget. And therefore, every 12 months, you have to be reminded. Where does this idea of a shir shikha come from? So he has two proofs. One proof is there is a Gemara Maseches Brachos that says when a person is mourning a relative, so the Eina Meis Meshtakeich Min Alei, the person who passed away, doesn't become forgotten until after 12 months. So apparently after 12 months, you start to forget things. And also there's a Gemara in the second parak above Metziah, which talks about the concept of Yeish, when a person gives up hope of getting property that he lost, he gives up hope of ever finding it. So the Gemara says that Stam Yeish is Yubeis Chodesh, and after 12 months, you can assume the average person will give up. So based on this, it says you have this idea that the Shir Shikha is 12 months, so therefore we have to remember Amalek every 12 months, so therefore that's the schedule, the Shabbos before Purim, so we remember Amalek through this Kriyas HaTorah, through this whole ritual event. So that could create a problem for this year. As some of the Svarim point out, and I think the Maram Shik has a discussion also, that so what about a leap year? You have a leap year, so we stick an extra month, like we do now, you stick an extra month to the worst place, right before others. So now you have 13 months in between the two others. So what are you going to do? So some suggest that's why you have to pay attention during the summer. That during the summer, when they read Parshas Kisetze, and they read the passage that we read for Parshas Zachar, so you have to have Kavana then, in order to not let 12 months pass. And there's a whole discussion with Sipe Seth Frank and his Chuvas discusses, you have to tell the Balkari to have Kavanah to be mostly people, they have to have this in mind. It's a whole question whether that's necessary or not. But that's one suggestion for this leap year type of scenario. And others say that it's not a problem, that 12 months doesn't really mean 12 months. 12 months means a year. Rabbi Willig once gave us here in the base Medrash about this point, that 12 months means a cycle of a year. That once the year resets, and then you start to lose some memories. So from Hanukkah to Hanukkah, when a new Hanukkah comes, you start to forget the things that happened before the previous Hanukkah. Every time you hit a new point on the calendar, so then things need to be refreshed. So once the cycle of the year passes, it doesn't mean 12 months. Literally, if the year is 13 months, then it means 13 months. That's how many understand. In addition, not everyone really accepted this whole concept of the Shir Shikha. Sat Marav and his Shuvas to Reyol, he thought the whole concept was not really based on solid sources. This proof from a mace being forgotten after 12 months, that means that a person who has spent the whole year trying to get over somebody and spent the whole year trying to forget, so after a year it starts to work. After a year he starts to move on. It doesn't mean necessarily that there's a mitzvah in the Torah to remember something that after a year you're going to forget it. And the idea of Yeish being assumed after 12 months, Yeish is not the same as forgetting. Yeish means you don't think you're going to get it back. It's been a year, I haven't seen my watch, I'm probably not going to get it back. You don't forget that it existed. You give up, right? Yeish and Shikha is not the same thing. So therefore the Sat Merav said he didn't like this whole concept of the Shir Shikha. And he says, Tam Chazal assigned it there, that we have a connection between Amalek and Purim, as Magen Avraham already writes, we want to make the connection between Haman and Amalek clear. So Chazal said the Shabbos before Purim, we should have a fulfillment of this mitzvah of Zachar. So if that's the case, so it seems pretty clear that this should not be considered mitzvah Seisha as Magen Avraham, because it seems pretty solid that there isn't any reason within the mitzvah why it has to be that. It sounds like it could really be any time. And therefore, one should assume, presumably, that women are obligated in this mitzvah, and that's how many assume. Many assume that that is the case, and therefore, therefore they make a big deal, tell the women, even if they don't normally come to shul, that Shabbos Parsha Zachar, they should make a point to come to shul, and they have an additional Kriya Satara sometimes, which is a little bit of a controversial concept, because there is also a discussion that some felt that women were not obligated. And why that should be is very unclear. It's based on a statement of the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch, when he lists the mitzvah of Malik, remembering a Malik, so he writes the women are exempt. So why should they be exempt? It's not clear at all. So there are a number of suggestions that are in the latest farm. The Avi Nezer has a reason why he thinks it is a mitzvah, say Shaz Man Grama. And the Marcheshes, written by Reb Chanach Egish, who was the Rav of Vilna after Reb Chaim Ozer, so the Marcheshes suggests that it's because again, there is this connection between Melchemes HaMalek and Zechiras HaMalek, and therefore, since Melchemes HaMalek is, it's only for men who go into war, so therefore only men are obligated in remembering HaMalek. And other Svarim say this is very difficult, because when we're talking about a Melchemes Mitzvah, it's not necessarily true that only men go to war. The Mishnah Sotah says that Afila Kala Mechupaso, that even a Kala from Rechupah is going to go out for a Melchemes Mitzvah. So it's not really clear to say that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Melchemes HaMalek. So it's a big debate, and it doesn't seem to really be settled whether or not women are obligated. If there were many who felt that women are obligated. The Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, Nachman Adler, is a great gaon, but he never wrote any svarim because he felt it was also to write down, because Torah Shebaal Peh should only be written if you're going to forget, and he thought he wasn't going to forget, so he didn't write any of his svarim. But Nachman Adler was known that he would insist that all the women in his household should come to hear Parsha Zachar, says Machlokas Aposkin, and therefore this practice of having a special Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon is a little bit controversial, because not everyone was so convinced that women are obligated, so maybe the Kriyas HaTorah is unnecessary. I thought, Lachari, you could say that even if it turned out to be true that women are exempt, but the motivation for the Kriyas HaTorah is to fulfill a mitzvah HaTorah, whether it's right or not, is debatable, but the purpose is to fulfill a mitzvah HaTorah, so that should be at least as justifiable as any other Kriyas HaTorah, so I think it was a strong case made for that, but in any case, that was a controversial point for that reason. The question of how connected it is to Zechiras HaMalek and Melchemes HaMalek, so Salvechik thought that was also relevant. There is a Machlokas HaChronim as to, do we have to necessarily have the Parsha from Kiseitre, those last, that Master from Kiseitre that talks about Zacharas HaShiras HaMalek, or could it also be the section from B'Shalach, the section that we read on Purim, Vayavu HaMalek? Maybe that should be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of HaMalek, so this is Machlokas HaChronim, whether that's true or not. And apparently part of the question is, are we remembering the war, remembering the end of B'Shalach, where Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to fight HaMalek forever, or is it a mitzvah to remember the Zechira, Zachar HaShir HaSalach HaMalek? Which part is it that has to, clearly Zachar fulfills it, but is it also fulfilled by B'Shalach, or is that not good enough? So that was my focus, I suppose, as well. We don't make a bracha on this mitzvah either, and the popular explanation is like the Tshuvas HaRashba, or is based on the comments of the Tshuvas HaRashba, the Rashba doesn't say about this, that even though it's a mitzvah, but it involves people dying, so anything that involves people dying, so we don't take too much happiness in it. We don't want to offer praise about that because it's a necessity, but it's not a happy necessity. It's not something that we want to celebrate. So the same way that we reduce our halal, that we don't say a full halal the last days of Pesach, because that was the time when the mitzvah were drowning, so we want to acknowledge that human suffering is not something that we're able to be too happy about, so too a mitzvah of Melchemes HaMalek, which the Zechiras HaMalek is apparently connected to, that's not something, a lot of Achronim thought that wasn't something that we can make a bracha on, even though you could distinguish. Right, so the bracha is on the mitzvah of praise, but the question is, our praise is needed because it's a bittersweet time. Right, so here you could really distinguish. You could say, here, this is a bracha. The bracha is on the mitzvah. Hallel is all about praise. So fine, so we can't have a full party because we're sad about people dying. But the bracha, you could make a case of a different story. So that's how some of the latest farms said. They're not so sure whether that's really accurate or not. But that was perhaps the most popular suggestion as to why it is there's no bracha on this. Okay, so those were the three big ones. So as far as Shabbos, and as far as HaMalek and Zechiras HaMalek, that's a little bit of a survey as to what we do about that. So what about the other three? The other three don't get as much attention. So first of all, Maamar HaSinai. So what happens to Maamar HaSinai? that, as many assume, but that's fulfilled by Shavuos. We have a whole yontif about it, the whole yontif that's devoted to Maamar HaShinai, so that'll be our fulfillment of that mitzvah. But what about the other two? Egel Hazav and Miriam. So how do we fulfill those? So the Magen Avraham suggests that really when it comes to these two, and Ramban writes that you should remember, Ramban says that this is these are real mitzvahs. The Rambam doesn't list them. And the Ramban has in the back of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban has in the back the mitzvahs, let's say, the mitzvahs also say, Shashachach HaRambam, the mitzvahs the Rambam forgot. Which is probably not the case. It's probably the Rambam left them out on purpose, didn't think they were mitzvahs. It's hard to imagine that he was at home saying, oh, you should write this all. Alright, set the printer ready, I'll leave it. And it's really a problem machlokas to what is a mitzvah now, but the Ramban writes that the mitzvah of remembering Miriam, the mitzvah of remembering Egel Hazav, it's a real mitzvah, and ironically the Rambam quote-unquote forgot them, isn't in the whole the mitzvah itself to remember them, and he should be counted as a mitzvah. He writes this also in his commentary to Chumash and in his commentary on the Sefer on mitzvahs. So what happens to that? So when do we fulfill this mitzvah? So some suggest, as the Magen Avraham writes, that it wasn't always the case that we would read the whole Torah every year. As the Gemara records that the minhag in Palestine, the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, was to read on a triennial cycle. So then you would have a problem because it wouldn't necessarily be the case that you go over the whole Torah every year. But now, essentially, really for all the Zechiras, we could say that the Kriyas HaTorah goes through the cycle once a year. So every Zechira and everything in the Torah is being mentioned on a regular basis. So fine, so maybe Maker I did, and that could have been enough, you know, for Amalek and for others also. But we have a mission, we want to make sure we get it done. But when it comes to these two are Rabbi Zion. We'd rather forget them, but we're obligated to remember them. So we remember them, but in a minimalist sense. We allow our normal Kriyas HaTorah to fulfill the obligation, and that should be enough. That's one suggestion. There's another interesting suggestion, at least as far as one of them is concerned, that there's another interesting source that we mentioned before, that Zohar is considered to be the only Kriyas HaTorah that's Min HaTorah. There's another possibility also. Some of the Rishonim in the beginning of the second parak of Brachos with a whole discussion about whether the Torah should be read in Hebrew or not. So there are some Rishonim who don't only just say Zohar, they throw in another one, say Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah also is Min HaTorah. Why should Parshas Parah be Min HaTorah? We're just saying anyone in the Torah has to read Parshas Parah. That's the whole discussion. There's various theories. Meshech Chachma in the beginning of Parshas Chukos, where the section is, he has a theory that because there's a mitzvah to teach the tzibur about the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, so therefore this is how we instruct it to the tzibur. But there are others who have another suggestion. The Malbim and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Rugis HaBosim, I think I'll take this approach, that we can make a shirch. Here we have a din without a source. Para Zareisa, we have no source for that. And we also have a mitzvah that has no kiyum. The mitzvah is Zechiras Egel Azav. Doesn't really get fulfilled. So what happens to that mitzvah? So maybe we could say like this, that we have a mitzvah of Egel Hazav. Why are we supposed to remember that? So we should remember ourselves? We should remember the terrible things that we did? No, perhaps the mitzvah is that we should remember really that we can come back. We should remember tshuva. That even though we mess up, it's still possible to return. It's still possible to come back. And perhaps that's the focus of the mitzvah of Zechiras HaEgel. So we know the Chazal tell us that the Parah Adumah is meant to be an atonement for the Chet HaEgel, that is the imagery of a mother coming and cleaning up after the child. So therefore, perhaps that's what's going on here, that Parah Adumah is there to fix the Egel Hazal. So we do it through the back door. We want to remember the Parshas HaEgel, but we don't want to focus on the Aver, we want to focus on the return. So therefore, Parshas Parah takes the place in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras HaEgel. It happens to work out that very often, it doesn't work out this year, it could leave you, but very often Parshas Parah is Parshas Kisisa. It's better on Parshas Kisisa when we read the HaEgel first, then we read the Parah, so Taka does have that pairing usually. So that's another suggestion that we find. So as far as Miriam is concerned, so that presumably will rely on the Kriyas HaTorah, and that seems to be its fulfillment, at least on a basic level. So that could be just a very quick survey of some of the different halachic practices that pertain to these zechiras. So just what about the theory? What's going on here? Why should it be that we have these six zechiras? And what's wrong with the rest of the Torah? What's wrong with the Shabbos and Kashrus and Yom Kippur and all the other principles that we would probably think are pretty important? The average person in the street would probably say that these are pretty important principles. And yet we don't have a specific mitzvah to remember them. And then these six, we have a special mitzvah to remember them in their own right. So what's going on over there? So perhaps it could be just as follows. You know, there's an interesting idea that we know that if you want to get executed in a Jewish court, it's very hard. You need to hire a fancy lawyer to get yourself executed because it's very hard to follow the rules that qualify. You have to be warned by two kosher witnesses who have to not be related to each other, not be related to you. They have to tell you in advance what you're doing is wrong and is punishable, and you have to accept the warning. Right? So all of that's pretty unlikely. And not only that, but there's a din, the Gemara tells us in Ksubas, that if they tell you the Hasra, and more than Toch Kedei Dibor passes between this warning and the action, you're off the hook. What's the Hasra? What's Toch Kedei Dibor? Toch Kedei Dibor is somewhere between 3 and 9 seconds. And we'll probably assume 3 seconds here, because we can go with Golakula with these kind of things. So we'll say three seconds. If more than 3 seconds pass between the Hasra and the act, you're not going to get executed. So why not? So it sounds like from Rashi and Ksubas, the reason is we're afraid that you might forget. Very hard to believe. What does that mean? You're going to forget? Someone said, don't you know you're not allowed to kill people? And, oh, I didn't realize. Thank you so much for telling me. He said, yeah, I'll be executed. Then 5 seconds later, you kill somebody. That just warns you. 5 seconds, you think I'm going to remember? It's very hard to believe. What's going on? You're going to forget because 3 seconds passed. So the Tosa Choshen raises this question. So some suggest, and Rav Soloveitchik had an explanation along these lines as well, that when we say that we, in order to be punished, you need to be mazed. What does mazed mean? We normally translate mazed as you're doing it on purpose. You know that it's wrong, you're doing it anyway. Mazed for the purpose of punishment doesn't just mean that you're aware of it. That if I were to ask you, oh, yeah, you're right. Now you mentioned that, I remember that there's a prohibition. It doesn't just mean that you know. It means that when you're committing the Avera, you are in such a state of rebellion that you are thinking about it right now. Right now, as you're doing it, like, I know this is prohibited, and I know it has all these consequences, and it's out of my active consciousness. It's not just in my mental database that I can access it. It's what I'm focused on right now. So there's a difference between memory that's retrievable and memory that's in action right now, that's happening. So presumably when we talk about the whole rest of the Torah, so that's got to be there in order to be retrieved. But when we talk about the mitzvahs of Zechira, it means that there are certain values that have to be brought to your attention constantly, that have to be made aware of, and that's what these Zechiras represent. So why should these six Zechiras have this special schus? So I think one could make the case that the six Zechiras together all kind of form a philosophical framework for Judaism. That there's a whole system here. So on the one hand, what's the first ABC, what's the first step of Jewish philosophy? That God created the world. And so that's what Zechira Shabbos is about. Shabbos is about telling us that there's a God who created the world and didn't just get here by accident. So we have a mitzvah to remember Shabbos. So I can say, all right, so fine, so I believe that God created the world. But maybe I'm going to be a deist. I'll believe that God created the world and put it into motion. He left. He didn't have anything to do with it afterwards. He doesn't guide human history. Nothing else has active involvement. So we're reminded as the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to remember that not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world, but he actively controls history. He actively steps in to guide our destiny. And the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is the clearest picture of that. And therefore, we're told to remember that take us to the next step of Jewish philosophy. It's the God who created the world and the God who continues to guide us and continues to dictate how it's going to operate. Okay, so fun. So he's running the world. What does that got to do with us? So maybe we don't have to do anything. We're just pawns. We're just puppets, and we can just live our existence, and God's running the whole show. Does he necessarily have any expectations from us? So the answer is yes. That's what Zechiras Maimon Har Sinai is. We have to remember that we stood before Har Sinai and we received the Torah, and we were given a mission. We were told that, yes, we also have responsibilities. We also have what to do. Okay, so fine. So I believe that much. I believe that God created the world, he continues to run it, and that he gave us what to do. But if he created the world and gave us what to do, so then if we fail in that mission, so then we should be irredeemable. Then we should be completely without any merit. If we're here to fulfill this mission and we deviate from it, so then it should be hopeless. So that's why we're told, no, there is a mechanism called Shuvah. We see that there's a maimed, there's an episode of the Egel HaZav. And even after the Egel HaZav, you come back. We remember this through the Parah Adum. We remember this through the Tikkun, through the Shuvah for the Egel HaZav. So even when we have strayed from our mission, even when we have wandered away from Har Sinai, it's still possible to come back. And that's what the Egel HaZav and its aftermath reminds us of. And therefore, we have a mitzvah to remember that. So those four mitzvahs perhaps create that structure. God created the world, cares what's going on, gives us what to do, and is willing to welcome us back, even if we stumble from it. So that leaves us with two. It leaves us with Amalek and with Miriam. So what's with that? So I think that Miriam and Amalek represent two halves of the, two very different halves of the same coin. That Miriam is about keeping us from Lashon Hara, as we know. And that's also connected to another very similar mitzvah, the mitzvah of Dibas Aretz. We're not allowed to speak bad about the land of Israel. And the Meraglim right away after Miriam failed to get the point, and they speak badly about the land of Israel. So in both cases, when it comes to Lashon Hara, when it comes to Dibas Aretz, they're hard to understand. We know the famous defense that we try to say whenever we speak Lashon Hara, we say, but it's true. And we know it doesn't help. And when we say it's true, it doesn't make a difference. And you can say the same thing when you complain about Eretz Yisrael. You have whatever issues you have, but they're true. What can I say if it's true? So presumably the yisod in both cases is that, yeah, it seems like this is true, but it doesn't matter. Because when you're dealing with your fellow Jew, or when you're dealing with Eretz Yisrael, so you have to recognize that the bracha is so great that it doesn't matter. The little details that you find, they shouldn't, the things that bother you, they shouldn't be in your radar screen. If you truly appreciated who your fellow Jew was, if you truly appreciated what Eretz Yisrael has to offer, so it's not going to matter or whatever. You can't get good cable reception. It doesn't matter. It's not going to add up. It's not going to be on your radar screen. So therefore, what's the message of Lashon Hara? What's the message of that Miriam is reminding us? And what's the message of the Meraglim together with that? That there are some things that are so good that even what's bad that's mixed in doesn't make a difference. Even what's bad is not going to take away from the fact that it's essentially good. And Amalek is the flip side of that. Amalek represents the opposite, that there are some things that are so bad that even if there's good mixed in, we are often able to justify things. Okay, well, you know, it's bad, but it's got this, it's got that. So Amalek represents that it's not necessarily the case that the world is only broken up into good and differently good and alternatively good and less good. There's bad also. There's bad. There has to be poles in order to know how to judge things. We have to have a sense of good and bad and know that everything else falls somewhere in between. And therefore, perhaps that's the idea when it comes to Amalek. So sometimes when you have something that's problematic, there are two ways to fix it. Talmud Torah fixes it, and the Tzibor is able to cover up a lot of problems. So maybe the idea of Malik Davka should be from a Sefer Torah B'tzibur, so that even those two are not able to change. The Malik is essentially a Malik, and that needs to be taken care of. That needs to be gotten rid of. That's not something that can be seen in any different light. So a Malik and Miriam represent two sides of the same coin. They represent the fact that there are some things that are so good that bad that's mixed in doesn't matter. And there are some things that are so bad that the good that's mixed in doesn't matter. And it's our obligation then to see those two points and to realize where everything falls in between. So together we have these six mitzvahs form this kind of bare-bones philosophy of Judaism. The God who created the world, he continues to be involved in what happens. He's given us a mission to live up to, but he's willing to welcome us back when we stumble from that mission, and that we have a picture of what's good and what's bad, and that everything should be seen within the prism of that picture. Those are just one perspective towards some of these details that make up the mitzvahs of Zechiras. Just to quickly chazer what we spoke about. We spoke about the fact that there are six such mitzvahs. We spoke about the mitzvah of Shabbos, the 15 different ways of seeing how Zachar, Zom, Shabbos, the Kajal could make stuff into Kiddush, in addition to the shopping during the weekend and Mizmor Shir. And then we talked about the Zechiras of Mitzrayim, which is a mitzvah every day we fulfill through Kriyashma, and the mitzvah also on Pesach, which is different either because it's got to be more extensive, or it's got to be an exchange, or it's got to be verbal. And the mitzvah every day may or may not be in association with my grandma, that's machokas, and we don't make a bracha, and it's a question why. Maybe because the bracha itself would fulfill the mitzvah. And then we talked about Amalek. Amalek, according to the Rush, and perhaps from the Sedeshin and Tosus, holds the Minat Torah we have to lane from a Sefer Torah with a minion. could be liable, the Rishonim disagree. Why do you need a minion? Perhaps because the whole mitzvah is connected to Mechamas HaMalek, which is the Tzibur, and maybe you need a Sefer Torah because it excels those Sikarim the Sefer. And the question is then, so why once a year? So it could be like the Chan Sofer is supposed to have said that there's a Shir Shechel that after 12 months he starts to forget, like we find by Yesh and by Avelus. So then the question is, what about a leap year? We have 13 months, so some say therefore you have to be Machmer to pay attention during Parshas Kisei in the summer that you'll fulfill it then. Others say it's not a problem, that 13 months is a year, it's all the same thing. And Divrei Yoel, the Zamarav, didn't like the whole Shir Shekha idea. He says that the two proofs are questionable. And that really just the idea is the Chazal connected it to Purim, the same way Magen Avraham says, and that's the idea. So it seems like it's not a misleading as Magen Avraham. The question is why the Sefer Achinuch would say that we're Muna Pturus. It's not really clear. The Machesha suggests this because there is an aspect of Mechemes HaMalik. But that, as others far and point out, we see Mechemes HaMalik really is Mechemes Mitzvah, and we should be obligating that too, so that's a question. And then the question why there's no bracha on HaMalik, it could be also because it involves people dying from like a bracha on net. And then the question is, what about the other three? So Maimon Har Sinai could be fulfilled through Chag HaShavuos. And the other two, maybe like Magen Avraham said, they fulfill through the yearly cycle of Kriyas HaTorah because they're embarrassing, we don't want to call attention to them. But could be other possibilities also, like a number of signs suggest that maybe when it comes to Egel HaZav, we choose to use Paraduma to remember it because that's the more positive version, that we want to remember the Tshuva, not the Aveira. And that's why there's some Rishon that seem to say that Parshas Parah is an obligation than HaTorah. And then the question is why Davka be 6? We mentioned that we see from Tochid Yibor there's a difference between remembering and remembering having something in your active consciousness. And therefore, perhaps the idea is that these 6 represent a comprehensive philosophy of Judaism, and that Shabbos reminds us that God created the world. The Yetzirah Mitzrayim reminds us that God guides history. The Maimon Har Sinai reminds us that God gives us a mission. And the Egel HaZav and the Parah Aduma specifically reminds us that we can come back even if we stray. And Amalek and Miriam teach us the poles of good and bad. Miriam teaching us that there are some things that are too good for the bad to mess it up. And Amalek teaching us that there are some things that are too bad for the good to redeem it. And together that creates a spectrum in which we can put the whole rest of the world in context. Okay, so we'll stop there. God willing, in the next few weeks we approach Purim, we'll talk about some more topics that are connected to Purim itself. Have a wonderful night.